This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
The scripture reading this morning is Amos 5, 14 and 15, found on page 1046 of your pew Bibles. If you'd like to read along with me. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. Just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph.
I was asked, what's going on with the picture on the front of the bulletin? That's a complicated picture. You could spend a lot of time just sort of sitting with that, soaking that in. This is a picture of one artist's way of thinking about justice. We're going to hear the word justice coming up here in a little bit when we finally get to the scripture lesson. It'll be a touch before we get to that. But this is one of the ways of thinking about justice. So if you look at that with the question of justice in your mind, you might see something different in there. Now, you might also be wondering about another part of the bulletin, the spot where it says, easily the worst stewardship sermon ever. That's what's going on right now. And it's especially what's going to go on, again, when we get to the scripture lesson. That's going to happen during the sermon today. But this is a terrible stewardship sermon that we are about to read from the Bible. So just, again, kind of brace yourself for that, because it's going to happen to you before you know it. Now, this is hard, given like the combination of my job and the person I ultimately work for, right? Or three persons that I ultimately work for, because I am called to, and we try to as a congregation, I'm called to, well, trust in God, right? And to trust in God in part by way of trusting Scripture. And trusting Scripture is, well, we trust it to be God's word for us today. But to trust it means that we trust it even when it doesn't make sense to us. So it's easy to trust Scripture when it's saying really nice things about us and what we already believe and how we already understand ourselves to be. It's easy to trust Scripture when it's giving us comfort when we think we need comfort. It's harder to trust Scripture when it follows its own agenda, which is most of the time. It's harder to trust Scripture when it comes along and it ruins our stewardship dedication Sunday like it's about to do. Because there would be a lot of other parts of Scripture that would make sense this morning as we're getting ready to offer these gifts, and God could say, yes, those are wonderful gifts, thank you so much, and we move right along. But that's not what happens here. We've been following this sequence of readings. It's called the narrative lectionary, for those of you keeping score at home. We follow this sequence of readings that follows the story, the great big story of God's faithfulness to God's people and God's faithfulness to the covenant promises that God has made to us. And so these stories that we've read through the fall have been stories about how God is faithful to us even when we are not faithful. And God calls us back to become faithful again. And God doesn't always do that in the kindest of terms because, well, sometimes God has to get our attention here. And that's where we are this morning. In the book of Amos, we are reading about 100 years after the stories that we read last week when the prophet Elijah was, dealing with some malfeasance on the part of the political leaders of his country. And now, 100 years later, it seems like everything is great. We're in the northern kingdom of Israel, and everything's wonderful. The borders have expanded, and there seems to be peace and security and prosperity. And that context may seem kind of familiar because the kingdom there is enjoying wonderful military and economic security, but there's this injustice lurking under the surface of how things seem to be going. So it's kind of like if the Dow Jones were at 23,000, but there were people who didn't have adequate access to food and health care. Or it would be as if we were shoring up our security by building walls and directing our attention to the things that we think will benefit us, but we've been ignoring all along a culture of exploitation and abuse, especially on the part of those who are wealthy and powerful. And it would be as if religion was somehow engaged in propping up that whole unjust system, and places of worship were profiting from helping people just bless their prosperity and feel good about whatever it is they did and thought and who they thought they were, even if that comes at the expense of others. Now, here's what makes this the worst stewardship sermon ever. What makes this the worst stewardship sermon ever is that Amos has no patience for any of that. Amos is a prophet, and prophets are the people who tell the truth no matter what, and they tell the truth specifically on God's behalf no matter what. And God always tries to speak on behalf of those who are without power and status and privilege. And so Amos calls the people back into faithfulness, or rather, God speaking through Amos calls the people back to faithfulness and says, "Seek good and not evil," right? That's what we read together. Now, it gets worse. So here's worse for you. This is our scripture lesson today. This is God speaking through Amos. "I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them," on Stewardship Sunday. "And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This is the word of the Lord. So we've got that phrase, that sort of challenge phrase, right? Put your money where your mouth is. And then Amos sort of tops that and he says, put your whole life where your mouth and your money and your commitments are. Because Amos wants us to recognize that we are no better than what we do. We are no better than the effects of our actions in this world. So, for instance, our commitment to reducing gun violence is no better than what we do to back up the thoughts and prayers that we so earnestly offer in the wake of the latest mass shooting. Our love for the poor is no greater than what we do to ensure affordable access to health care for everyone, both in El Salvador and in Polk County. Our stewardship of God's gifts is no greater than our commitment to support this institution according to our ability, whether this institution is religion or government or the common good, in whatever way we have access to supporting and promoting that common good. Now, the worst part about preaching the prophet Amos, this is just an aside, the worst part of preaching the prophet Amos is that I can soften his language too far to be actually faithful to what he's saying and still feel like I'm being too harsh to be, you know, speaking kindly in a service of Christian worship. So, like I said, this is the worst stewardship sermon ever. But here's the thing. Amos doesn't care what you wrote on your pledge form. Amos doesn't care what you put down on that piece of paper that we are going to dedicate later on in this service. Amos doesn't care if Covenant Presbyterian Church is able to make our budget next year, because Amos's job is to tell the truth. Amos's job is to point to the effect of who we are and how we live and what we do in this world that God loves so much. That's what Amos cares about. He cares about what we do with what we have. He cares about what difference we make. He cares about whose lives we serve and improve. And he cares in particularly about how we treat and the effect that we have on the most vulnerable among us. And Amos is not the only one who wants to orient us in that particular direction. That's sort of the thrust of Jesus' ministry among us as well, when he calls our attention to how we treat, as Jesus said, the least among these. As we treat the least among these, we are treating him. That's not me, that's not Amos, that's Jesus saying that. And so when Amos calls us to justice and to righteousness, he's not calling us to have all of the right ideas, right? He's not calling us to think in all the right ways or even to believe in all the right ways, as difficult as that is for us good Protestants, right? He cares about what we do. He doesn't want us to follow some narrow set of rules, but rather he wants us to decide rightly on behalf of others, to decide rightly on behalf of those who are in need among us and around us. And deciding rightly is about recognizing whom our decisions impact. It's about recognizing everyone as beloved in Christ and choosing to act accordingly. Justice and righteousness are about letting our concern for the least of these to influence how we spend and buy and hire and invest. Amos doesn't care about what we meant to do. Amos cares about the impact of what we do. So I wonder if maybe Amos preached a stewardship sermon after all. We've been talking for the last several weeks about the idea that your gift makes all the difference. We've been saying that your gift to and through Covenant Presbyterian Church makes a difference in this world. It makes a difference in the life that we share together as Covenant, and it makes a difference in the lives beyond this church as well. So our mission giving continues our strong tradition of wanting to make a difference in lives beyond the life of this congregation. Now, you may be aware that we've had to reduce some of our mission budget for next year as part of being faithful stewards of what we have been given. And yet, we've made that decision in a way that allows you to unlock extra mission giving by giving extra beyond the budgeted needs of the congregation. So there is a direct and tangible way that your gift makes a difference. Making a difference beyond ourselves and making a difference beyond this particular congregation is a way of connecting our money with those people that God loves so dearly. But I also got to hear stories this week. Monday morning at the men's breakfast, I heard the men sharing stories with each other about how the church has sustained them directly in hard times that they have found themselves in, and your gifts make that difference as well. Your gifts might lead us toward the next person who needs this congregation, the one for whom the difference is gas money or a sustaining relationship with a mentor. I pray that our gifts lead us into service, lead us to love and to share and to answer Jesus' call. And I pray that your gifts and all our gifts lead our whole lives into that life-giving worship of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.